So today we move on toward our next superhero. We are continuing in the X-Men, and we're looking at the first black female superhero in existence. That is Storm. She is an extremely popular character. She wasn't always a popular character, but she has grown to be one of the most beloved female characters in comic books. She's got such an interesting background as well. She's born in the U.S., moved to Egypt, and then ultimately, and I'm summarizing, she became a thief to survive. From there, she ends up meeting Professor X, gets out of there, and then joins the X-Men. And her debut comic was the giant-sized X-Men, and that she also was introduced with Colossus and Nightcrawler. As she's grown, her powers have been stated more clearly. She controls storms, but the list of her powers is insane. All the research that I've done, she's extremely powerful in the comic book universe. And I'll read this. It says, Storm is one of the most powerful mutants on Earth and has demonstrated a plethora of abilities, most of which are facets of her power to manipulate the weather. Storm possesses the psionic ability to control all forms of weather over vast areas. She has been able to control both earthly and extraterrestrial ecosystems. She can modify the temperature of the environment, control all forms of precipitation, humidity, and moisture at a molecular level, generate lightning and other electromagnetic atmospheric phenomena, and has demonstrated excellent control over atmospheric pressure. She can incite all forms of meteorological tempests, such as tornadoes, thunderstorms, blizzards, and hurricanes, as well as mist. She can dissipate such weather to even form clear skies. She's extremely powerful. She can do this anywhere on Earth and on other planets as well. It's really cool to read about her character and what people thought up of Storm. In all of that, though, I found that in her story, when she was a kid, she was a victim of a terrorist attack and was trapped. And therefore, as she grew up, she was rescued. And then when she grew up, she had a crippling form of claustrophobia, that is a fear of enclosed spaces, that you can't get out. It just devastates her. In fact, in one episode, she is fighting, or one comic book, she is fighting alongside the X-Men, and she, in her own mind, starts to wander about her death and being trapped in a tomb, and then it completely shuts her down. And even though she's the one that could probably turn the tide of the battle, she shuts down. She weeps openly and is apologizing, but she can't move because it's devastated her so much. When I heard about that, I thought of what is that like in our lives? You know, what's it like to have something that is crippling? And I know that it's possibly annoying, but I think that the Bible talks about this, that it does have a purpose in our lives. Even though it may be annoying, it may be devastating, it may be life-altering, these sort of things are placed in our lives for a reason. And in the Bible, so we're in 2 Corinthians 12. We see an individual, the Apostle Paul, who is a very, very interesting character as well. The difference between the Apostle Paul and Storm is Paul was real. And so what we see here is, I want to read off a list of accomplishments of Paul. And it's this, and it's just really short. But when Saul of Tarsus, who was renamed Paul, saw the resurrected Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, Saul converted to Christianity. So he witnessed this. He made three long missionary journeys throughout the Roman Empire, planting churches, preaching the gospel, and giving strength and encouragement to early Christians. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, Paul is credited as the author of 13 of them. While he was proud of his Jewish heritage, Paul saw that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well. Paul was martyred for his faith in Christ by the Romans about 64 or 65 AD. Paul had a brilliant mind, a commanding knowledge of philosophy and religion, and could debate with the most educated scholars of his day. At the time, his clear, understandable explanation of the gospel made his letters to early churches the foundation of Christian theology. Tradition portrays Paul as a physically small man, but he endured enormous physical hardships on his missionary journeys. His perseverance in the face of danger and persecution has inspired countless missionaries since. And that isn't even going into detail of the things that Paul survived, just natural disasters or natural accidents of capsized boats and storms on the water and bitten by a snake. And then he's also been almost stoned to death by people, and he survived all of it. But in what's interesting is that of all of his accomplishments and planting the churches and doing things for Christ, I'm led to 2 Corinthians 12. And starting in verse 7, it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And then it says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It's really interesting. So in all of his greatness, in all of Paul's greatness, and he even lists it in other letters of how he has all the reason to brag concerning the flesh and in the world, he is given this thorn. And it's widely debated on what that thorn exactly is, whether it's a physical ailment, sickness, if it's a sin issue, if it's depression, whatever it is. God, he has this, and God refuses to take it away from him for one purpose, and that is humility. It is a humility in resting in God's power and grace on his life. It is so that whatever he does, it is not about Paul, but it is about Christ. It is about what God is doing through Paul. And even Paul himself in 1 Corinthians says, "You say you're of Peter, you say you're of so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so." And he wants to correct that mindset because he knows and he understands that in everything we do, it is not about us, but it is about Christ. Christ is the hub. And so when I thought about that, I thought about my life, and I think about countless other Christians who live a life that struggles with pride. They struggle with pride in what they're able to do, what their maybe it is Christian accomplishments or worldly accomplishments, but still in that sense, pride is such an inhibiting factor in our walk with Christ. And so my question is, do you know the thing that you struggle with pride-wise? Is there something that you go, maybe it's self-righteousness. Maybe it's false humility. I've seen people with this self-condemnation mentality that actually will shut them down And when they talk about themselves, they talk about themselves in the most lowest of terms. And I think that's not what the Bible's teaching us, though. So there are different sides to this, but I want to say that whatever it is that you struggle with in the pride, that's what we need to work on in our lives. We need to start correcting that. But when it comes to humility, I think walking forward in this life of Christianity, we have to have a biblical understanding of humility. And C.S. Lewis says it like this. He says, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. It is raising people up. It is raising God up. It is, and then lowering ourselves on the list of priorities. See, confidence is great. I believe in confidence, but humility is greater. And then in stories like this with Paul, and even in the comic book concerning Storm, there are things in their lives that they will look back to that keep them humble. Paul looks at this and it creates humility in his life. Is there something like that in your life? Maybe it's the day you got saved and you realized the sin and the issues that are what made you realize you needed Christ. And it's not that we reflect on those sins and are bound by them, because Romans 12 says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That stuff was defeated by Christ. The question is, do you use that as a way to humble yourself and go, in this light, I cannot judge this person based off of what they're doing. I cannot look down on this person based off what they're doing. I cannot move forward in my walk with Christianity taking credit for the things that God is doing in and around me. I view people higher than myself because I know who I truly am. And I know that I need a Savior. I know that I've needed a Savior. And it's Christ's work in me that allows me to affect the people around me and the situations around me. It is not about me. It's about Christ. So my question for you is this. Is there an area in your life that you struggle with and with concerning pride? Pride is a very blanket statement sin. But because pride manifests itself in very, very many, so many different faces and situations. So you can say pride, but what is it specifically in your walk that you struggle with? And in that struggle, allow that struggle to remind you how much you need a Savior. And that humbles us to a point where Paul is, where he says, my grace is sufficient for you. For God's power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's my prayer for us as Christians, as people who walk this sanctifying life of trying to look more like Jesus. How is our humility doing? Are we aware of it? And are we trying to become more humble? I thank you for listening to this today. Next week or next month, we will cover another superhero, and I hope that you join us then.